We are back with another analyst interview. Today I'm sitting down with Jake Madison, host of Locked On Pelicans, one of the very few analysts that I've had on this show that I've actually met. So always nice to catch up with someone I've met in person. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm your host, Adam King at AdamKing91 on Twitter, back for another analyst interview nearing the end of this series. So, we've spoken to a lot of pretty cool people. Got Jake Madison on today. Jake, thanks for being flexible. I know I've messed up the times a little bit, but good to have you on the show and good to talk to you. As I said, I was lucky enough to catch up with you when I was in New Orleans, which was, 10 months ago? So we've had a full season of NBA basketball since then. So we'll probably talk about the Pelicans a little bit, I think. But how are you anyway?
I'm doing well. I'm excited to be on talking hoops with you here. It's always cool to reconnect. We shared a nice meal in New Orleans, so I'm happy to be here, man.
We did, and I was actually on the Flock podcast the other night with Lyle Swithenbank. So he's he does a Pelicans show and a fellow Australian, and so went on the show with him, and we chatted about life and the Olympics and all sorts of things, but also spoke about the Pelicans. So we'll get into the interview content, but quickly touching on the Pelicans, they're sort of a team that feels like they're on the cusp. So they're ready to take that next step potentially. And Lyle and I spoke about this as well. And I guess just get your thoughts on the DeJounte Murray trade, because both of us were pretty positive about it. Are you of the same opinion? And shame about losing Dyson Daniels, because I think he can be a good player. But yeah, what do you think about the DeJounte move?
Yeah, look, I thought it was pretty good. You know, it was funny. I was actually like on an airplane as that news broke and trapped up there, as I was like, of course, that's how it goes. You know, so I saw like the news break that it says like DeJounte Murray's been traded to New Orleans. And I thought the next part of that, the next tweet from whoever broke it, was going to be for Brandon Ingram, right? And turns out that wasn't the case. You know, a young player in Dyson Daniels, Larry Nance Jr., a couple of first round picks. Look, to get a player of his quality that's like kind of like a borderline all-star level player, I think without giving up another kind of equal player, to me is like a very good deal. And in the Western Conference, which is going to be brutal this year, if you're not trying to like dramatically improve your team, you're going to be worse than you were a year ago. So maybe it's not the ideal move. There's still open questions about the center position, but I think the Pelicans need to be given some credit for like trying and doing something, you know, trying to pair a guy that can organize your offense, run pick and rolls, do all of that in late game situations is really important for this team, because they lacked that last year and they were a bad clutch team because of it. If Zion Williamson goes down, this is a little bit of insurance. This is a guy who can run your offense, can help generate points. They've needed that when Zion isn't out there on the court. You know, Brandon Ingram, whether he's on the team or not, has said he wants to play more with like a pure point guard. DeJounte Murray is closer to that. So it kind of addressed all of those things. So I was a big fan of the trade.
And I mean, DeJounte has come out publicly and said that he wants to prove that he can be in that discussion as an elite point guard in the NBA. So it's, I think it's a really good challenge for him as well. And I think it, as you said, it helps Brandon Ingram, it helps Zion, helps CJ McCollum, because it gets him off the ball a little bit. The question mark now, obviously, is that center spot, like you alluded to. Daniel Tice, I guess, is there Eve Missy, who they drafted? I mean, what are your thoughts on that center rotation at the moment?
Look, it's not great. You could argue it's the worst in the Western Conference, like maybe the league. I'm not entirely sure. Look, you know, Daniel Tice is serviceable enough. He's a little undersized at 6'8", but he plays far tougher than what his size would indicate. He can rebound well enough. Can he play 20 minutes? Yeah, probably. Maybe it's, you know, or, you know, 15 minutes, seven to start each half. I think that's a very realistic possibility. And then it will be, can you find a small ball lineup that works? So we can talk a lot about the center spot, but if they find a small ball lineup that works, whether it's Zion at the five, whether it's Trey Murphy kind of playing the five, he's 6'10". He could maybe do some of that, you know. This will all be moot and it won't be the biggest deal. This is a team where your starting center is like your fifth best guy, you know, far and away. Yeah. I think they can kind of get out there with just dudes who can breathe air and give you like enough, because this isn't going to kind of be the focal point. You just need them to give you some defense, not an elite amount of defense, and give you some rebounding. And I think this team can be okay.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, I said this to Lyle, and as you've sort of just said there, he will be the fifth best player on the court. And but the Pelicans, they don't need him to score at all. They've got tons of scoring around him. So as we saw, I know Germany lost overnight to France, but we've seen through the Olympics and just throughout his career, you can use him as a bit of a hub on the offensive end. He is a decent passer. As you said, good rebounder. So I think he can fill a role.
You know, he's a really good screener too, and that's not something that New Orleans has had. So how does that open Zion up with him just setting solid screens, or CJ or BI? And like, those are the type of things I think you'll kind of see them use with him a little bit here. And I think that's the important thing. I had someone on my show, I did a live one the other day, asking me about this, and they were like, we're going to get eaten alive by opposing centers. And, you know, my kind of comment is, okay, right? Like, look at the Memphis Grizzlies with Zach Edey, who's likely going to be their starter at the five. Yeah, if Zach Edey goes and scores 50, that team probably loses because John Morant hasn't done anything and some of these other guys haven't done anything. So, you know, look at the Washington Wizards with Jonas Valanciunas, former Pelican. If he scores 30 against New Orleans, no one else is doing anything on those teams because these are kind of back-to-the-basket plodding centers that use up the majority of a possession and they're not going to score 100% of the time. You don't get three-point shooting in those situations. So I think it ends up being okay.
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, they're probably on the hunt for a center and keeping an eye out who's available. So maybe they pick up someone closer to the All-Star break when in a buyout or something. But no, look, I think he'll be okay. And obviously he has the ability to space the floor. I'm not going to say he's a reliable floor spacing center, but any space you can create for Zion is a good thing. So. I think it'll be a challenge, but it'll be interesting to see how they go. All right, moving off the Pelicans and on to what we're actually here to talk about. Basketball, sports media, media in general, how did that come about for you? So was this a plan at a young age, or was it something that you sort of fell into accidentally at some point?
More of the latter, where, you know, this is not my full-time job, not my full-time career. I've kind of done this on the side. At times, it's, you know, it requires the time of a full-time job and everything like that. But so I've been in this space for about 15 years now. It's been a minute, and it's always been a side thing. You know, when I got like my first job out of college and had some disposable income, I bought season tickets to the then New Orleans Hornets. That's how old this is. And I had a background in writing and just doing some of this stuff. And one day I was like, I want to write about the team. And I attribute a lot of my success to kind of my timing, right? It's tough to make money in this space right now and just kind of have any sort of breakthrough. I came along when like sports blogs were like kind of just starting a little bit. So there was a way to get in, you know, that wasn't there before, to build an audience, because it wasn't an oversaturated market, you know, not just in New Orleans, but everywhere with everything. So one day I was just like, you know what, I should start writing about the team. And I reached out to, like, there were like three New Orleans Hornets blogs. I reached out to like the third biggest one, because I thought they would say yes to me more so than the others. And they were like, yeah, come on. And look, I wrote for free, didn't make a penny off of the work, but, you know, built a resume, built a little bit of a name for myself, connected with a lot of people. And from there, it's just kind of taken on the life of its own. I got picked up by a bigger blog, still wrote for free, but it was more of a platform to showcase my work, what I was capable of doing. And then ultimately that led to Locked On coming calling for me. Mm-hmm. And when they needed a Pelicans host, you know, they reached out to me, they'd seen my work, they'd heard me on other podcasts and things like that, and gave me this opportunity. And I've been there basically since the beginning of the network. And now, you know, it does well and, you know, the show does well. And it's, I just get to keep talking about something I love. And that's kind of been the path. So a lot, like a lot of it's timing. I came up at the right time around sports blogs, you know, Locked On. I got in on the ground floor when it's harder to do that later on. So, you know, a lot of luck and timing goes into this stuff too.
And then, and yeah, so as you said, you do the Locked On Pelicans stuff, but, and you still, do you still co-host Locked On NBA? So just their NBA show. So I guess that, that means that obviously your focus is the Pelicans, you know, sort of everything there is to know, but hosting a show like that, you actually need to broaden that knowledge base, I guess, to study the league as a whole.
Yeah, you've just got to kind of like, you know, it's sometimes this job, you know, and I talk to like a lot of younger people who reach out to me with it. And I'm, you know, they're always curious how you come up with ideas for shows and things like that, right? And it's trying to find what's interesting in this. So I watch a lot of NBA. I just really like the NBA because I'm really interested by things that are going on. And finding out what kind of interests other people too, and then turning that into a topic is how you kind of do some of that. So yeah, I've been doing Locked On NBA once a week for pretty much the same amount of time as everything too. Yeah. So it's fun not to just like to really focus and be an expert on the Pelicans, but to cast that wide net where like, oh, look at what this player did the other night. Like, right, he scored 50. I want to talk about that and have the opportunity to do so is pretty cool.
And I think that's one of the appealing things of just sport in general. But the NBA, there's the narrative is always changing, the storylines, the players that we're talking about. So as you said, I mean, you can come up with ideas for shows ahead of time, but by the time the show then rolls around, you've probably got other things to talk about. So it is, for like for us here in the fantasy space, a little bit different, but much the same in that we'll have an idea that we want to talk about. But then you come to record the show and all this news is broken and someone's gone off for 50 and someone's got injured. And so it is a very dynamic landscape. And for me, it means it gives me an excuse to have to watch a lot of basketball. Which
yeah, right. Like it's like, oh no, I have to stay up late and watch all of this. Like, woe is me kind of thing. Right.
Yeah, that's right. And it's a good excuse. I can tell my wife, well, no, I have to do this. It's not just because I like basketball. It's part of my job. So as you said, this isn't your full-time job, but I'm sure it takes up a lot more hours than a hobby should. Full-time job. So what is it you do when you're not doing your basketball stuff?
You know, so I live in New Orleans. There's Tulane University here, which is actually how I ended up in New Orleans. So I went to, that was my undergraduate college, and I went there and I work for them now. I'm a fundraiser for the university. So I meet with alumni, talk about them, like supporting the university, trying to bring money in for different things. So, you know, they're great that they encourage me to do the show and everything, but you know, that's kind of the full-time job. I love what I do for them as well. So it's kind of nice to, you know, I've had people like offer me full-time opportunities here in the NBA space, but I like the exact spot and lane that I have right now where I'm not only doing this where I think I would be burnt out and probably hate basketball at a certain point if it was like 24/7. So both of those two things kind of allow me the right sort of like balance with everything that I do.
Yeah, I'm much the same. I do like having that escape. Each one is an escape from the other kind of thing. So, yeah, doing it, obviously a lot of people do it full time, and some of the people I've had on the show do it full time. And I guess that's still potentially the dream, but I don't see it ever happening for me. But, yeah, no, I think it is good to have that balance. And then I suppose shifting the focus off work and employment and basketball, life away from the spotlight, I suppose, let's say the spotlight. You mentioned your partner lives in LA, so you're back and forth a little bit between LA and New Orleans. And you said we were off air that you've been in LA because you escaped the heat from New Orleans. Yeah. And I experienced that heat in New Orleans. I was there in September. No, I was there in October, so probably not as hot as it is now. But it was very, it was a very
still pretty unique, hot.
It was a unique heat, I'll say that. And to me, I thought LA was just as hot, but obviously that's not the case.
you lack the humidity out in other places, and like that's what gets you here. I'm in New Orleans right now, and I think it was like, you know, it was like 98 degrees outside, but it feels like 115 with that humidity, where like the second you step outside, it's like you're walking into soup or something like that. It's almost like the air is like heavy and hard to breathe. So one of the things is I'm lucky to live in New Orleans, and this city is really fun. There's always something to do. So when it's not basketball, when it's not, you know, the full-time job and things like that, I like to just get out. I'm a very social person, so I like just going out with friends. You can eat so well here in New Orleans. You can drink really well too. There's always like a festival or something going on where I get to go be social. So like, you know, there's a reason why, you know, I've lived here for 20 plus years now and I've just never left. And it's like, this city just like suits me with how fun it can be and like the different things that you can end up doing here.
Yeah, it is a very extroverted place to be. Everyone is out there and loud and happy and that sort of thing. So we found that when we were over there. So I mean, downtime for you, which probably doesn't come a lot, but what do you like to do in your downtime? Other hobbies, other sports that you enjoy?
Yeah, you know, there's a couple of different things. Like I am big on like kind of routine. So I make sure I try and like work out every day. Is that's a great time to like clear my head and just kind of refocus, whether it's the morning or the afternoon. I'm a big car guy actually. So I have like an old classic Corvette that's about 50 years old that I'm kind of like restoring in my spare time. So things like that where you just get to like focus and try and complete a task on hand. Like I really like those kind of opportunities. The car is fun to drive around too. So like kind of things. You know, I'm a big Formula One guy in any sort of racing. I used to race cars myself. So, you know, that's a lot that you can kind of like find me getting into when it's just like trying to clear my head or just like need some me time and things like that.
Yeah. Any shared hobbies? So like, I know for me and my wife, our hobbies sort of become our kids, I suppose, and family and that sort of thing. But is there anything that you like to do specifically with your partner that you both enjoy doing?
Oh yeah. You know, obviously like otherwise might not be a great pairing there with everything. Like going to sporting events, like big, right? Like both like to get out and do that sort of thing of just, you know, partially just watching people compete. She played soccer growing up. So, you know, being able to go to soccer games, watch soccer games together has been, you know, a real big thing, whether it's just like us, it's going to the beach and doing things like that, being able to kind of just take advantage of all of that. The other night we were out having drinks and like just met people and just talked to them all night. And it was really interesting to like hear their stories and things like that too. So there's a lot of things that are kind of like shared that we're be able to like go out and have fun doing with everything.
Now you mentioned food and you're right. There are a lot of good places you can go out in New Orleans to eat. I experienced a few of those, not as many as you obviously, but any favorites, like is there a particular cuisine or a particular dish or something that sort of sticks with you as a favorite? And was that something that you've sort of acquired since moving to New Orleans, or something more like along the lines of you grew up with that food?
So my palate since I've been living down here has expanded like tremendously. It being on the Gulf Coast, like, you know, tons of fish and seafood, which I didn't have like a ton of growing up, like never really ate oysters when I was younger, but now like I will inhale those things cooked any sort of way. You know, so anything like that has like really kind of gotten its hooks in me. And that's been really cool to kind of just like expand my taste. Look, it's Louisiana, right? And they hunt, they fish, you know, so I've tried all sorts of different animals that I never thought I was going to eat growing up, which has been kind of cool to see like what you like, what you really enjoy with that sort of thing. You know, where you and I went, which was Butcher, which is like that great sandwich shop downtown, their restaurant Cochon, like attached to it is like incredible. You're going to walk out of there weighing like pounds more than you would have otherwise from that. But you know, all like kind of the Southern food I've really embraced. It's difficult to eat healthy here, but you got to try and do all of that. So the other thing that I like is like, give me a place with like a good atmosphere that's fun, where if you go with a group, there's just like kind of energy flowing around you. I always enjoy those type of places as well.
So I'll have to try and get the name of the place right. But so my friend Chris and I, when we were over there, it was towards the end of our stay. And we did a lot of walking to try and work off that food that we were eating and the drinks we were having. So we did a lot of walking and we walked through New Orleans, and it was over to where, so the purpose of our walking that specific sort of environment, that what we were doing was to go and see the house that was filmed for American Horror Story.
Yep, on Jackson over there.
Mm-hmm. So we walked over there, and it's a bit of a hike. It's not that far, but it was a decent walk from the main sort of city where we were. And we discovered that that's not the only house there like that. It's a whole mm-hmm. area like that. And the photos were phenomenal. And that was just incredible. But walking back, it was lunch. So we're looking for somewhere to eat. Now we went to a place, and I think it was called Juan Flying Burrito.
Yeah, that's a place. Mm-hmm.
Biggest burrito I've ever had in my life. And it was the best burrito. So it wasn't just quantity over quality. It was both quantity and quality. We both left probably fuller than we've been ever. But it was so good. The ingredients were great. Is that somewhere that you go, or was that just a
Yeah, there's a couple of those around town. I love that place. Love that place. That's if you really want to laugh, it's one of my go-to hangover places when I'm oh, it's Sunday morning, I'm struggling a little bit here. Juan's Flying Burrito and picking up some food is usually a safe order and a safe bet. So that's great. I don't know. This city's just cool, right? Being able to walk and go and see that house and then kind of discovering, right, that there's this whole neighborhood of historic homes like that, all the history here in the city with everything, all the kind of the variety that you get. It's just a cool place to be able to do that. But eating is definitely up there on the list.
Yeah, I think it has to be. And then something that I'm sort of into, I suppose, I really like movies and I like TV and that sort of thing. Is that something that you're into, or that you were sort of into years ago? How often would you go and sit down and watch a good movie, and have you got any favorites?
Yeah, so I don't get the opportunity to do it as much as I would probably like, given, basically two full-time jobs with everything makes it a little bit difficult with it all. Look, I'm a huge nerd, so any of the superhero movies, things like that, all the Marvel movies, those are going to get me. You'll definitely find me in the theater for that sort of thing. Also, a lot of older classics and things like that too. Any sort of film noir kind of detective stories can really hook me. There's a really great theater in New Orleans called the Britannia Theater, which is an old school single screen theater that they play a lot of those movies in. So it's not far from where I live, so it's easy to kind of get over there for the evening movie that they're playing. That's kind of a classic, just to get out of the house, go watch something, and things like that.
And I mean, obviously that shift has happened in the last 5-10 years over to TV shows. So a lot of people now, they don't have time to go to the movies, so they binge watch a TV show or something like that, because it's just a lot easier. Is that something that you're into, TV shows? Are there any that sort of stick with you as a favorite TV show?
Yeah, there's two sides to it, right? You've got the prestige TV that part of it is I just don't have tons of time, especially during basketball season, to sit down and I'm going to watch an episode. So when those shows come along that really kind of get their hooks in you, it's always good. Big Game of Thrones guy with that on, kind of, and everything going on with that right now. Some of those other shows have kind of managed to hook me kind of in that genre. Big sci-fi guy, so any of those often really do it too. The Fallout TV show that just came out was great. Loved that. Look, there's also some trash TV that I'll throw it in there. I don't know what it is about Love is Blind on Netflix, but anytime that new season comes out, I'm trying to watch that all immediately. And so that's the kind of guilty pleasure show that I have for everything.
Yeah, I think we all have those guilty pleasures. And I can't even think who it was. Someone I spoke to recently, I interviewed, and theirs was watching reality TV like Love Island and things like that.
So I just watched that for the first time this past week. So it's perfect that you mentioned that. I love that one as much, but it was pretty entertaining still.
Yeah. And we get all of those here. And obviously then we have our Australian versions of those shows and as they do around the world now. So thanks for jumping on the show today. I mean, let people know where they can find you and what you've got sort of going on. We're obviously not a lot of news at the moment, but it'll start to ramp up before we know it.
Oh yeah, look, we just got the email announcement from the Pelicans of training camp and that schedule. It's less than 2 months away that all that stuff gets really ramped up. Look, there's gonna be more moves and coming you know, in the NBA soon. So it's going to be a lot of fun. You can find me. I'm on Twitter. It's at Nola Jake. Just search Locked On Pelicans wherever you get your podcasts. Also there on YouTube as well. And then the Locked On NBA podcast. I'm on there every Wednesday, kind of breaking down the league as a whole.
Yep. No, find Jakey out and about. And yeah, if you're into the Pelicans, certainly if you're not already following him and listening to the podcast, then go and do that. That will do it for today's show. Thanks again for being flexible with my wacky schedule and jumping on the show. Remember to like and subscribe. Give this episode a thumbs up. One more, I think. So this will be coming out a little bit later, probably September, and then there'll be one more, I think, to round out the series. So again, shout out to everyone that's been on the series this year. And we'll have our stuff ramping up by the time this does come out, where we'll be fully engrossed in fantasy basketball and NBA. So looking forward to another good season. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.